Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your living and active word. We thank you that you still use it to breathe hope into the hearts of the hearers. Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes and help us to see, open our ears and help us to hear, soften our hearts and help us to receive from you what you have for us this morning. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Well, Christ Point, I have a question for you this morning. And the question is this: what brings you joy? What brings you joy? What brings you delight? What is it in your life that you experience and go, yeah? Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. I'll wait. Okay, do you have it? Great. For all of us, there are things in life that bring us joy, that we delight in, that we find some sort of satisfaction in. Just this week, I was thinking about all of the little things that have brought me joy throughout the course of the week. I got my favorite ice cream at the grocery store, or at least one of my top three. It's Häagen-Dazs chocolate chip. My family still doesn't know about it. I have it hidden in the corner of the freezer. It's mine. I haven't told anyone about it. I really enjoy it. And so occasionally when I walk by the freezer and no one's looking, I'll pull out a spoon and I'll take a bite. I know it sounds silly, it's a small thing, but it's something that brings me joy. It's something that I rejoice in. Häagen-Dazs chocolate chip ice cream. Man, is it good. A good cup of coffee in the morning is something that I rejoice in, right? I mean, just first thing in the morning, brewing that pot at home in particular, man, it's just good pouring the first cup, waking up in the morning. I rejoice in a good cup of coffee. Earlier this week, I walked into the office at the Speedway. And I know this sounds a little funny, but, you know, there's nobody there. Like, literally nobody there. And I walked in and it just was quiet. And I've been doing a lot of work from home, and, you know, like you, there's distractions. And so it just was neat to walk in and go, ah, like just for this little moment, I'm distraction free. And I thought, like, yay. I know those things are silly, they're small, maybe they're seemingly insignificant, but I think all of us delight or find joy in certain things in life. And so when Peter writes to the church and says, rejoice, I think to myself, like, oh boy, like here it comes. What is he going to encourage the church to rejoice in? If you were with us last week, you know that we were praising the name of the Lord for the work of salvation, for giving us a living hope, for securing our salvation by the resurrection, through the resurrection of Jesus, by giving us an inheritance secure for us in heaven. Like Peter is just building and you're like, yay! I mean, you can feel it as you read the text. And then he says, rejoice! And then he says something really unexpected. I want to read his words to you this morning, and I want you to listen and follow along and hear what Peter encourages you and me to rejoice in. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, in glory, in honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted that the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Did you catch that? Did you see what Peter encourages the church to rejoice in? Peter says, rejoice, there's purpose in your pain. I want to make just a handful of observations this morning as we consider this text this morning. The first observation is that trials in life may come for a little while. It says in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. There are times in life when trials come our way, and Peter writes to the scattered church and says that they may come for a little while. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear a little while, I think to myself, that can have a number of different meanings. All right, sometimes if you've left work and you live 10 minutes away and you call home and you say, hey, I'll be home in just a little while, the person on the other end might think you're going to be home in 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, 10 minutes tops, but you're on your way. You'll be home in just a little while. If you're driving cross country and you've been riding for days and you call on the last day of the trip and say, hey, I'll be there in a little while might be maybe an hour from now or two, but you'll be there soon. There are other times when you say a little while, when a little while can feel like a long while. If you have a teenager who has their driver's license and they leave to see a late movie and they text and say, I'll be home in a little while, it can feel like a long while. And then there are other times in life when a little while is actually your life. And so when Peter writes the church and he says to them, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by trials. Just be thinking in your heads when he says that doesn't necessarily mean the trials are going to go away in like 20 minutes or 2 days. He's saying to the church, you may experience trials, but in the grand scheme of eternity, your trials will last just for a little while. Maybe you hear this morning and your trials have lasted years or decades. Maybe there's something that's come your way, a medical condition, an illness, a sickness, that has not passed and will not pass. And you say, James, my little while seems like a long while. I understand. But I want you to know, in comparison to all of eternity, your suffering, your hardship, your pain, your trial will be a little while. There are trials that come our way that sometimes will stay for a little while. The second observation is that we grieve over our trials. Isn't it interesting that when Peter wrote to the church, on one hand, he says, rejoice, right? Rejoice. And you're ready to like put on your happy face and to celebrate and go, oh, what are we going to rejoice in? And he says, rejoice. And then he says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. When trials come our way, we grieve the trial. How many of you have grieved 2020? I mean, you think about all the things in your life that has changed, or all the things in life that have been lost, and maybe you have experienced deep sadness. And so when you hear on one hand, rejoice in the midst of trials, you're going, oh, I don't know about that. But it says rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Do you know that God gives you and me space to grieve our trials? It's okay to look at the situation before you and to go, this stinks. And this stinks. This isn't how I drew it up. Like I had this picture of myself walking across the stage and getting my high school diploma and having hundreds of people stand and cheer. I had in my mind a picture of my dream wedding with family and friends gathered together, and you grieve that loss. Maybe you think, boy, I had hopes and dreams that work would go a certain way, or that financially I would be in a different situation, and you find yourself in a vastly different world. I want you to know that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to go before the Lord and say, God, this is not how I would have drawn it up. And I wish this was different. It's true if you're 15 years old. It's true if you're 50 years old. Right? We grieve the various trials that we experience. Right? So on one hand, we see that trials may come for a little while, and that little while may seem like a long while. In the grand scheme of things, it's a little while. Secondly, we notice here that Peter invites the church to grieve over the trials that they are experiencing. And then third, notice that Peter talks about various trials. I think Peter does this intentionally. He's not specific with just the one trial that the church may be experiencing. He just says, I know that you might be grieved over various trials. He paints with this broad brush. There's like this large umbrella, and he's like, there are a number of different things that you might be grieving right now. Even when we read through Scripture, we notice how many times Scripture talks about various kinds of trials that the church may face, trials or tribulation. I think of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, talk about, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing or on the day of trials in the wilderness. So the author of Hebrews, don't really know who the author of Hebrews was, but the author of Hebrews points to various trials that were experienced by God's people in the wilderness. This time for them was marked by a lack of position, a lack of power, and a lack of provision. They were a people who wandered. They were a people without, and they experienced trials as they wandered through the wilderness. In part, you go, well, that was sort of a consequence of decisions they had made, their own doing, and yet you see God working and moving in their lives simultaneously. But Hebrews talks about this trial that comes from a lack of power or a position or provision. Luke, in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower? There's seeds that are sown and it falls on various places. It says in Luke 8, 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. So there's that idea of joy or rejoicing, similar to Peter's words. He says, but, this is Luke's gospel, but these have no root. They believe for a little while, and in time of testing, various trials, In time of testing, they fall away. So here in Luke's gospel, there's this talk of a trial that comes that snuffs out the faith that one had originally rejoiced in. Right? So there's this connection between joy and trials. Here in the context, the trials take one away from the faith. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, he writes, "You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus." So Paul had some physical ailment that was experienced by the people of God at the church in Galatia. And Paul is saying that this condition, this bodily ailment was a trial to you. In other words, there are times when we experience a trial because someone we know or love may be experiencing pain or hardship or a sickness or disease. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, when Jesus is nearing the end of his life, he is inviting Peter, the apostle Peter, who wrote the book of 1 Peter, to watch and pray for him as he nears the finish line. And he says to Peter in Matthew 26, verse 41, "So could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The word translated for temptation is the same word that Peter uses in the text to talk about trials. So there are times when trials or temptation can come from the enemy. Now maybe you're thinking, James, why are we visiting all these other passages that talk about trials or temptation, or what's the purpose of that? Well, it's just simply to show you when Peter talks about various trials, Scripture does the same. Right? Scripture talks about the various trials that you or I may experience or that we may face. At times, a trial is that we lack a provision or we lack power. There are other times when we might experience a trial because we are battling with a sickness or an illness, or someone we know or love is battling with a sickness or an illness. There are times when we experience trials because we are experiencing temptation. There is an enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we're being tempted to drift from the Lord or to fall into sin. Scripture talks about all sorts of various trials that we experience. And Peter is writing to the church and he's telling them, listen, there will be times where for a little while you will grieve the various trials that you are experiencing. Maybe today you are experiencing a various trial. You know, our trials are not meant to be compared to the person next to us. You know, sometimes we look at our stuff that we're facing and we compare it to someone else because we're looking at ourselves and going, well, maybe I don't have it as bad as so-and-so. And so we try to cope with what we're experiencing by putting it in context to someone who has it worse than us. I don't think that's what we should be doing as God's people. I think our trials, our circumstances are significant in and of themselves. They stand alone. And so Peter's writing to the church and saying, regardless of what it is that you're facing in the moment, you might be grieving various trials. The fourth observation that I want to make that Peter writes to the church about is the fact that there is purpose in your pain. Rejoice, there is purpose in your pain. In other words, it's not wasted. It says in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, now you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is the purpose of your pain? What is the purpose of my pain? Well, here Peter says the purpose is that the genuineness of your faith may result in the praise and the glory and the honor of Jesus. Your faith may result in the praise and the glory and the honor of Jesus. God uses your faith to grow you, to change you, to shape you, to form you into the image of Christ. Faith is in Christ. And so faith glorifies Christ because we're placing our faith in him. We're trusting him that he's going to move, that he is going to act according to his good will. And so God uses our pain to grow our faith in Christ. Trials serve as fertile soil for faith to grow. Your medical condition, your sickness, your financial difficulty or strain, your loneliness, your broken relationship or marriage, your disappointment, it is not wasted. It's not wasted. God is using it in your life to form and to shape you. It's not random. In ancient times, there was a method by which grain was threshed. Sheaves, you know, those the wheat that was gathered together, they would place it on the ground, and there was this piece of farm equipment. If you imagine almost like a toboggan sled, I don't know if that's what we called it in Michigan, a toboggan, a sled that would have stones and bits of iron on the bottom of it, and it would be dragged across these sheaves after they were gathered together. And then when it was dragged across the sheaves, it would separate the husk from, or the grain from the husk. This piece of equipment, this cart, was called a tribulum, which was a threshing board. It is the same word that we get the word tribulation from. Right? But the idea was that it was serving a purpose. It was taking what was valuable and what was good and what was nourishing, and it was separating it from that which was not. Peter is pointing out to his audience that there is great purpose in your pain. God is doing something. He's creating something in us. Often the work that God is doing is difficult, but he's producing something in our pain. Pressure that you or I feel is preparation. It has a purpose. It is not wasted. God is doing something in and through your circumstances right now. He's doing something in your life and in the lives of those around you. It's not random. Right? So when we experience life in a fallen world, when we experience life when it does not go our way, we should remember that God oftentimes is doing some of his best work. Right? Our circumstances, our situation is not wasted. There's purpose in your pain. The fifth thing that Peter is going to point out to his audience that I want us to notice this morning, that's such a word of encouragement to us, is that you and me, despite our various trials, should be encouraged, because even this is part of God's plan. Even this is part of God's plan. Look at verse 10 in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you and the things that you have now been, or that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Peter is going to remind his suffering audience that he can be encouraged by the prophets, because the prophets have been saying for centuries, hey, he's coming, he's coming, Jesus is coming. They were pointing toward him. He's saying, be encouraged by the preachers who came and preached the good news. What's the good news? The good news is that a Savior has come, that there's hope for you and me beyond this life. He says, be encouraged by the angels in heaven, because they long to look, to have a front row seat into what God is doing, right? And so as the people of God, we pray, God, encourage our hearts, even though we're experiencing various trials. God, we believe that for centuries, people have been pointing toward the coming of Christ. Now that he's come, we look forward to the time when he will come again. This is part of God's plan. Listen, what you and I are experiencing right now, even in this weird and difficult 2020, God's not surprised by this. He's not caught off guard. He is working and he is acting even now according to his good pleasure. And so Christ's point this morning, rejoice. Rejoice because there is purpose in your pain. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that our circumstances in life are not wasted, that we believe that you're moving and acting even now, even in the midst of challenging times and difficult times. You are working, forming and shaping faith in us that ultimately will result in your glory, because our faith is in you. It's not in ourselves. It's not in our abilities. It's not in our strength. It's in you. And so I pray that you would pour that faith into our hearts today. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Christ's Point, as you may have heard, next week on August the 23rd, we are going to regather at the Oler Barn as a church. We are sharing details about how to best plan and prepare for that time. We understand that there will be folks in our church family who are not comfortable coming back for various reasons. They could have a medical issue in their family. They could be caring for a mom or a dad, a son or a daughter, or they just may not feel comfortable coming back. We want to give people the freedom to watch online. We're going to continue to post our sermons online, even on the 23rd. But for those who are willing and able and want to come back, we want to welcome you with open arms, trusting that God will use that time to encourage our church family. One of the things that's not optional in the Christian life is pursuing a community together. We really believe that one of the ways that we point people to Jesus is by experiencing authentic community. And so I want you to hear just a little bit about some ways that you can connect this fall.